You're listening to San Bernardino PD's Briefing Room. Welcome back. I'm Michelle Mahan.
And I'm Jose Castro. You know, Michelle, I hope you didn't miss me too much last week.
Jose, we totally missed you.
I know. I know you do.
We hope you had a great vacation.
No, it was good. It was needed. We all have to refresh our batteries, you know, from time to time. And
yeah.
And I will say, when we were discussing this week's episode, you know, you brought up a very good point. Having wherewithal and personal safety when you're out. And this came from a case that was fresh when I was gone.
So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about today, we're going to be talking about personal safety. And while Jose was vacationing, we had a guy in a certain part of our town who was harassing some of the young ladies, kind of being a little bit of a creeper. So it kind of, you know, with you being out on vacation and with the guy being creepy and harassing women, it seemed like a great time to talk about personal safety. So with us today, we actually have Detective Anna Munoz, Corporal Anna Munoz, because you're actually in a more field-based assignment, right?
Correct.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Anna was one of the people that was part of that investigation into our little creepy guy.
Correct. We initially just got the description of the suspect. All victims gave a similar description. My team was assigned to go out and do some undercover surveillance in the areas where the crimes mm-hmm. occurred. And hopefully trying to find somebody that matched the description
right.
and get a little bit more information of how we could find this guy.
And you guys did ultimately succeed. The police department caught this guy.
Yes, us.
Very good.
Along with many officers on patrol, as well as the detectives.
Yeah.
A lot of officers on patrol, and the Detective Bureau did an amazing job at putting the pieces together to track down the guy.
And that's how it usually works with these sorts of cases, where
yeah.
you have just bits and pieces from several investigations, then you just start pulling your assets,
yeah.
and everybody pulls their weight, does their part, and then we get successful results. So
right.
I'm glad we were able to get this creep off the streets.
Right. And so, you know, he's going to have his day in court, and we're not here to talk about the details specifically of that case. But needless to say, there was a guy
right,
who was going around
right.
there inappropriately touching people, and he's in jail. So
but the bigger picture is that personal safety aspect.
Yeah.
What we all worry about for like our family and friends.
Yeah, it does bring that to mind. Like, how do you, when you're moving about in public, maybe keep yourself safe? And a lot of times people ask police officers like us, how do we keep ourselves safe?
Yes.
What do we do?
That, or they'll ask, why are you doing that? And you don't know what they're referring to because it's second
yeah.
nature.
Yeah. So, and it might be something that's security minded, but it's so second nature to me. I don't even realize I'm doing it.
Before we go any further though, I do want to, the reason we have Anna here today, and I've been impressed by how she's operated her career and,
yeah.
and even when she was a brand new recruit, being amongst her FTOs, I wasn't one of her FTOs, but I was amongst the FTOs that were assigned to her, always carried herself well. Now you're one of our defensive tactics instructors, correct?
Correct. Brand new defensive tactics instructor. So I'm still learning a lot, but I think doing this job every single day, it almost unintentionally carries on to my everyday life.
Oh, it has to. Yeah,
yeah, it absolutely has to. So even the whole be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your locations when I'm mm-hmm. off duty, it's just second nature for me to always think about where I'm at, where the exits are.
Right.
When I go into a grocery store or restaurant, I'm just very mindful of where's the exit at? Or if, you know, an emergency happens, what can I do to help? What can mm-hmm. I do to make things better? How am I making myself and my family safe wherever we're going?
So, right.
And how long have you been with us?
Approximately 6 years.
Already 6 years?
6 years.
Dang, I'm old. We're old.
I know. I remember when you were a brand new officer in training, Anna. Okay. So, I think you hit the nail on the head. And that's exactly what we want to talk about today is, how does the public adopt some of those things, or what things of officers' behavior can the public adopt that might serve them well? Minor little behavioral tweaks that they can make that will keep you safer when you're going into Stater Brothers or whatever grocery store you're going into.
So, and actually exactly 6 years ago this week, I started the police academy.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly 6 years ago this week. And when I started, I remember day one of the academy, keeping my right hand, my gun hand unoccupied was a huge thing.
You know, right. They get would on you right,
yell
right
at
away.
Me left and right if I had anything in my right hand. And when I first started, I didn't know what the importance of that was.
Right.
Obviously, as a cop, I've learned to keep my gun hand free for several reasons.
Right.
And now I even do that off duty. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I even realize, well, it's just being at an advantage for anything.
Right.
Even if I trip, you know, it's
a strong hand.
It's just my strong hand.
And that's the thing that people don't understand. Yeah,
yeah, we call it our gun hand.
We're not saying to go get a gun.
So right.
Right. No.
But you operate your gun with your strong hand. Yeah.
And the mindset of always keeping that strong hand, if you're right-handed, usually it's going to be a right hand, and if you're left-handed, vice versa, but of keeping your right hand free, just like a very good point that you made, if you trip and fall, that's what you're naturally going to want to post yourself up with.
Right. The other day I was babysitting my nieces, and same thing, you know, my nieces had their hands occupied with toys in their hands, whatever. One of my nieces trips and almost falls. Thankfully, I don't know, it's just a habit to never have anything in my right hand.
Right.
I was able to swoop her up. And it's something as simple as that, that I just feel like I could carry it on to different situations.
And I think it absolutely has everyday application, you know, like whether it's saving, you know, somebody from a fall or grabbing something or, you know, something like that. But like, let's just take it a little step further into a little bit more of a scary incident. Let's say you get attacked.
Right.
You want your strong hand available for self-defense.
Exactly.
And you're going to have the most powerful impact with your stronger hand. And if you are carrying your grocery bags in your strong hand and somebody accosts you in the grocery store parking lot, well,
exactly.
You're stuck. You're tangled up with your grocery bags.
How do you push them away? How do you run away? How do you call for help?
Yeah.
If not your strong hand is occupied. Yeah. Very good.
You know, and even in defensive tactics, we teach our officers to practice both strong and weak side. But part of that exercise is to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, but just to see what you're capable of on your weak side and to see that there is a difference.
Right. And knowing your personal capacities, your personal advantages, disadvantages. Obviously, somebody my size, I'm 5'4", 130 mm-hmm. pounds, isn't going to have the same physical capacities as Jose, somebody that's 6 foot tall.
6'2", 230.
I'm sorry.
Yoked out. I look like The Rock, but more handsome.
Okay.
Correct.
If you're going to describe it,
carry on,
Anna.
So as I was saying, somebody that's my size, you know, also has to be a little bit more aware, I feel
right.
like, because I will just be at a disadvantage if somebody tries and comes at me from behind, tries to assault me, tries to rob me.
Right.
I'm just a little bit more aware because obviously that's the case when I'm on duty as an officer.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to be more mindful that I can't really get into an aggressive fight with somebody that's 6 foot tall, 200-300 pounds.
You gotta use your head.
Exactly. So I'll use my voice to de-escalate, but I always just have to be mindful of, and, you know, be humble enough to know that I just physically cannot handle myself the same as others.
And what Anna's describing, it's funny because I am kind of, you know, I take it for granted my size.
Right.
But we all carry ourselves similarly.
Mm-hmm.
And by carrying yourself similarly, I mean, you know, shoulders back, head up, looking around, not having your head buried in your cell phone.
Yes.
And that's a big deal because when you look at a lot of these, cell phone snatches or these pickpockets that we deal with, what were you doing? Did you get a description of this guy? No, I was looking down. I was reading something.
I could tell he's wearing tennis shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Dumb stuff like that.
Yeah. So, and that's not helpful.
So I guess the next tip is, carry yourself upright.
Right.
Look around. Be aware of your surroundings, not just in front of you, but behind you, like you said, Anna.
Yeah, that's definitely. And it's crazy how much we people watch at times. Everywhere I go, I tend to people watch. And it's not because, you know, I'm very curious about what somebody has written
on
their
shirt. Although it is entertaining.
Yeah.
It's definitely entertaining. But sometimes I watch, I admire a girl's hair, or I may admire a car. But I think it's just a habit to people watch that if somebody walked past me, I could almost tell you they're wearing a red shirt and blue jeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just instinctively do that.
And so then if that same person is the same person that tries to, you know, hit me or kidnap, you know, a child or something next to me, I could almost tell you, oh, it was this guy that I saw at the soda fountain wearing this.
And so then if you get in a situation where you now have to call the police because you're off duty yourself, you at least can give them a suspect description because you had your head up looking around.
Yes. And I think we don't realize the importance of just knowing your surroundings, knowing your location.
I see it all the time. You go to the ATM, and for people, some of us still carry cash from time to time.
Sure.
It's not all cryptocurrency yet, but I see it.
People or ATM cards.
Yeah, people going to the ATM to get cash out. And the first thing they do is they turn around and they have their head down and they're counting the money that they just pulled out to make sure it's there. And then they loosely put it in like their back pocket or their side pocket.
Yep.
And it's like, man, anybody, and it's not like somebody's following you to the ATM. It's just somebody that says, eh.
An opportunity.
An easy target. Yeah. A lot of
times. And people will take advantage of that.
Exactly.
That's what people don't realize. People will take advantage of that if they see it. If they see, you know, an older lady that just doesn't know what's going on and she's just oblivious to her surroundings, they're going to take advantage of that.
Right. And so, like, we always talk about what's the answer to that. And take the ATM for an example. You know, and Anna, you always talk about being observant. When I go to the ATM machine, because I do occasionally pull out cash when there's, I don't know, some lunch event we're paying for here at the department or something. But even in my own personal time, when I'm pulling out cash from the ATM, you know, there's always that little mirror thing. And that's the camera,
use it,
right?
You know, too low for me. They're too low for me.
I know they're taking my picture. And I'm okay with that. You're welcome to watch me pulling money out of my bank account.
I check my hair sometimes.
But you know, the reality is too, though, is that's a mirror. I can see who's coming up behind me. So I'm looking at that. You probably would think, you know, I'm checking my hair, but I'm really watching for anybody walking up behind me.
And that, I think truly that's what it's for, but people don't use it for that. People will use it to check their hair. And I know you're kidding about that. But, well, no, I'm not.
But you don't have hair, Jose.
Yeah. Thanks.
He's checking. He's checking his. He's
awkward.
Checking his So, you know, the reality is there's still ways that you can, even when you have to have your attention on something like the ATM and, you know, Anna, like you said, you're looking around. One of the other things, though, that I know I personally am looking at when I'm out in public is what is everybody else doing and what are they looking at, too?
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but we can kind of pick out the cops in a crowd, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because they're doing the same thing that we are. They're looking around and they're watching people and their behaviors.
I thought you meant by the mustaches.
Well, some of them are the mustache.
The mustache and the fanny packs.
Yeah. So, but the reality is, though, is they're kind of doing the same thing. They're people watching, but it's not for entertainment purposes. It's for who's got a suspicious bulge or who's acting weird. Who do I feel like I need to stay away from?
Yeah. Who's got their hands in their pockets acting fidgety. And those are the people that when they're around, you kind of get more attuned and you do these things. You instinctively put your back against a wall so that somebody can't approach you from behind.
Yeah. Like a panhandler at the grocery store never takes me by surprise. You know, I see him coming, you know, he saw me, I see him and I'm watching him as he progresses across the parking lot thinking, oh, here's this little 40 something year old woman. I can go get some money from her.
And I tend to be very mindful. I tend to be very, very mindful of where I park my car. That way when I walk out, I'm not looking around. Somebody doesn't see me and say, oh, she's lost. Let me take advantage.
I'm going to have my sisters listen. These are the types of things that like, and not just because they're my, but these are the people in my life. I really would love for them to listen to this episode.
And if we think about, you know, holidays coming up, when the malls are crowded, holidays, you know, you come out with all your shopping bags for, you know, I'm Hispanic, so I have like 100 aunts and uncles and cousins. So when I'm coming out with all my gifts for all my tías and tíos, I sometimes get overwhelmed. I'm tired. I got people calling me on the phone, but I still have to be mindful. Like, oh, I parked my car over here. I'm going to make sure that I have, you know, my car keys ready to go. And I'm just walking straight to my car. I'm not lost. I'm being mindful of who's around me, making sure nobody's following me out of the mall.
And if the phone's ringing while you got your hands full of bags, or your left hand, in my case, your weak hand full of bags, and your car keys are in a, you know, like, that's not a time to answer the phone.
Right.
No.
That's
Wait
a time
till
you to
get
like,
in the car, lock
the doors. Yeah. So like, just, I think we're talking about just like really good basic stuff here, but it's so pertinent. And I know all three of us at this table can talk about a time where maybe we had a case where we just think, oh, I wish you had done X, Y, Z because you might've been able to prevent it. Yeah. Not that it makes it okay for somebody to attack you and take your stuff.
Right.
But if you can make yourself a less attractive target, or defend yourself once it does happen. So we're talking about like those things that everybody does on a regular basis. And, you know, going to the grocery store is so normal. People watch your surroundings, you know, things like that. But what about like, you know, I know Anna, you go out on the town every once in a while. You're out and about with your girlfriends.
You're young, you're hip. You stay up past 9:30.
Yeah. I'm at in bed at 8:30 at night. But Anna, when you're out past 8:30, you know,
it,
like,
what's it like? Yeah.
So, you know, but there's certain things that, you know, we all do when we're out in company. So tell us about, like, what do you do individually when you're out and about, say at a restaurant?
At a restaurant. So like I said, I always like to have eyes on the door, on the door, just to see who comes in, who comes out. And I'll have girls' night, you know, where me and all my girlfriends, we go out to dinner and
dish.
We go out to dinner. And I always choose a seat where I can have eyes on pretty much the entire restaurant, but definitely the entry exits and see who's in or out, who's sitting around us. I don't like to have I just don't like to have my back to the restaurant. And a lot of the times I'm like, oh, I want this seat. And my girlfriends who, you know, aren't in law enforcement, they're like, okay, there you go with your special seat. And it's not that I'm special. It's just, I like to have
that advantage
and just see, you know, if somebody is coming up behind one of my girlfriends, I feel that I'll be more willing to do something to protect them. And I think it's just kind of in my second nature because of this job.
And it's such a cop thing. We all do that.
I mean,
Jose
really
and I are laughing
is.
Because we do that on duty all the time.
It
we
really
pick the booth
is.
In the corner so we can see the whole thing.
We don't even think about
it.
It
really is. Yeah. But then even, you know, say again, I'm out for dinner and drinks with girls, with my girlfriends. And there's been times where somebody offers one of my girlfriends a drink.
Oh yeah.
And for me, that's a huge red flag.
Because they didn't offer it to you.
So I'm like, who sent you that drink?
Sure.
You know, you don't know where that drink came.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we see so many unfortunate and bad incidents
where people adulterate drinks.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. I've seen so many young girls, you know, we work all these raves. We work all these concerts, and young girls get taken advantage of because of
and it's so preventable.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, like, let's face it. It happens. Somebody buys you a drink and you know, it needs to come straight from the bartender's hands.
Yes.
Or the wait staff's hands, not, you know, somebody, some tall, dark and handsome stranger across the restaurant buys you a drink and brings it over. I agree. A huge red flag. You don't know what's in that
thing.
So I think though, even what you're kind of getting at too, is not just don't accept drinks from strangers, but be sober enough to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You're going to have fun, you know, go out there, you're going to drink, you're going to have a good night. But there's a line between, you know, feeling good
and out of
not
control.
Feeling anything.
Yeah.
And just to make sure you're mindful and just because you have good intentions and your intentions are just to go out and have a couple drinks with the girls, have a good time. Those aren't the intentions of a lot of other people.
Right.
You know, just like we talked about the intentions of the, you know, harassing suspect that we had a couple weeks ago. He had very bad intentions. Obviously the girls that he was harassing, he was trying to sexually assault. They were just doing they were just doing their thing, you know, they were just out for a walk or, you know, taking out the trash, whatever it may
have been. Or talking on their phone.
On their phone, you know, just minding their own business, all good intentions. He obviously had other intentions and his mindset is just different.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we think, well, just because we're good people, we would never do that. Unfortunately, there's people that don't think like that.
And we're not trying to make people feel paranoid necessarily, but we want you to be aware that there are people out in the world that don't have great intentions and, you know, they're going to do their thing and the police are going to do everything they can to stop them. But the reality is you as an individual want to make yourself a less attractive target for that stuff or make yourself an impossible target.
And this isn't, and this doesn't mean that your entire night is spent sitting in the corner of a room
looking at doors.
This just means that every 10 minutes you just take a glance. You assess the room.
Exactly.
You get a feel for it. And then you go back to your party.
Yeah.
And then you take a look again and you say, oh, okay, this looks the same. Or there's something here.
Yeah.
And like we've said, I think it's so second nature to us that we don't think about it like that.
Yep.
Because I think the average person doesn't think that way. You know, the average person, to me, it's just natural to look at where the exits are and then just sit down where I could see them.
Well, so we've kind of gone over, you know, a couple basic concepts about keep your strong hand free so you can take care of yourself and respond to things. You know, we've talked about, you know, don't get sloshed so that you are, you know, aware of your surroundings and where to sit.
Maintain a good posture. Looking around.
Yeah.
If you look confident, somebody's not going to come up and, you know.
But so there's something that takes away from that a lot of times. And I'll admit to occasionally getting seriously distracted by my phone. But the phones, I see this time and time again, people just immersed in their phones. And from a police officer's perspective, I look at that as a dangerous prospect.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, I think it's all about you're not paying attention to what's going on around you. You know, like we said earlier, that phone gets snatched and you can only describe tennis shoes. But the phone is more than that. The phone is also your eyes are attached to that screen. You're focused on that. You don't hear what's going on around you as well. You know, like what about phone calls?
Yeah. Phone calls when you're talking and spilling your beans all over the, over town. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, so you got this voice in your ear and somebody's coming up behind you because you're paying attention to the voice in your ear.
Yep.
You're out in public and you don't even realize something's coming at you.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I don't know if it's, I consider it a flaw at times that I am not very good at multitasking. Like if I'm grocery shopping and I'm on the phone, I'll forget what I'm looking for.
It's funny you say that because they've done studies. Multitasking really isn't a thing. You know, you can't do two things at once.
Right. And I sometimes, you know, or if I'm doing something, I feel like I can't answer the phone or I can't have a conversation with somebody else if I'm doing something that I need to focus on. I am not the best multitasker. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I feel that when I'm on my phone or I'm talking on the phone or something, I'm not really focused on the task at hand or on my my surroundings and what I'm doing.
Because you're focused on the conversation.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And the sounds coming from the conversation.
100%. Right. So if I'm talking on the phone with my mom and, you know, we're going over, she's giving me some sort of recipe or we're just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so intrigued with the conversation that I'm having with my mom that I don't know if somebody's coming, walking up to my car, you know, say if I'm sitting in a parking lot, somebody could easily come to my car. And if my car is not unlocked, or I'm sorry, if my car is not locked, they can open the door.
Right.
And either rob me, jump in the car, steal my car, you know, if the keys are in the ignition. And I think it's although sometimes, you know, again, my friends will give me a hard time.
It is us being paranoid sometimes, but
yes.
Good preparedness.
But sometimes I think it's just, I can't multitask and it might be a blessing that I can't multitask.
My family and friends have finally learned to put up with those little police officer idiosyncrasies, you know, and I'm lucky because my husband is also a fellow law enforcement officer. But, you know, the reality is that phone is taking away from your attention. And when you're in a place that you need to be paying attention to your surroundings, don't be on the phone because you are not, you might think you can see everything around you, but you're really not paying full attention. And while we're on the topic of the phones, a pet peeve of mine is the earbuds. I see people running around with their earbuds or
completely
their earphones
covered,
on. Yeah, both ears completely covered, music blaring, and you can't hear anything coming. You're out for a jog. You can't hear the car that's coming up behind you, you know, much less a person. Is that just me or do you guys kind of agree to earbuds, bad idea?
Yeah, just the general distraction. And I think we've touched on the topic enough. Don't be distracted, whether it be your face in your phone or your ear in a conversation. But another thing that you don't realize when it comes to phones is, look, you may have this phone where you're paying $30 a month on your plan and you don't really see the value of the phone. But an iPhone, if you go to Craigslist or OfferUp, an iPhone fetches $1,000.
Yeah.
So it's a quick $1,000 for somebody.
It's right out there. Like, just snatch it.
How many times have we seen people walking around with cell phones in their back pockets sticking out?
Oh, yeah.
Or in their side pockets, or they just loosely have them in their hands and they're not seeing. We get a lot of that at the raves.
Yeah.
Where people will get their phones stolen from
a back pocket. Yeah.
And really, that's the most prevalent crime is the petty theft of a cell phone. The theft of a, you know, a pickpocket of a cell phone. That's totally preventable.
Yeah.
Put your phone in a position where it's not easily snatched. You know, put it in your left pocket, put your hand in your pocket.
And same thing goes for the purses. You know,
females and the wallets.
Females have their purses all the way to their back. They can't even tell if somebody opens the zipper or not.
Yeah.
So I try to always have my purse right in front of me.
Yep.
Right in front of me, or at least to my side, but in front of me where my hand is pretty much on it.
When I travel, I'll take a backpack. And what I do is I always have a paper clip on one of the zippers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in a bus or a subway or something, I'll put it on the front and then I'll just connect the two zippers with the paper clip. And mind you can easily defeat that. But it's not the ease of it. It's the fact that
you're going to feel
that.
It's
a little bit harder for a
pickpocket.
Yeah. So I took
a fanny pack on my last vacation and I got made fun of. But let me tell you, it was very, very convenient. It was right in front of me the entire time. So I don't have to worry about my backpack being on my back and not being able to see if a pocket was open or not. I put my debit or credit card or my IDs in a pocket inside of a pocket inside of another pocket.
Right.
You know, just,
and, you know, before we go on any further, we do have some listeners in the UK, and here in the States, we call it a fanny pack, but in the UK, it's referred to as a bum bag. And the reason is I believe the term fanny is a little bit offensive over in the
UK. But it doesn't mean that here.
No.
It's So
I just want to make sure that our listeners over there
we're not trying to offend
understand
you.
The difference.
But you know, the reality is that's a really good tactic to have that bag that allows you to keep an eye on your stuff.
Especially if you don't have a lot of belongings that you need a backpack.
Right.
If you're just going out for sightseeing and you don't need a big coat, you just need your ID, your credit card, or a little bit of cash, and your cell phone. I was putting all of that, like I said, in the pocket of a pocket of another pocket, just so it wouldn't be so accessible to somebody. Again, it wouldn't be very accessible because it's, you know, attached to me right in front of me.
But these pickpockets are, I mean, they're pros.
Yeah.
This is their profession.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it almost bring some peace of mind to me, knowing that I know where my things are, they're secure. And again, in the more outer pockets, I would just put, you know, maybe receipts, something that wasn't as important.
The trashy
stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Candies, gum, whatever.
So I always travel with either a crossbody bag or a backpack. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I do have some zipper security stuff. I'll put locks on them and lock them together, much like you do, Jose. But I also make sure that I put it on both shoulders. If I'm going to wear it properly, I have it on both shoulders so nobody can come by and like knock it out of my arms and just kind of drag it off of my arm, you know, if you're one arming it. And then when I'm carrying a purse, it's always a crossbody bag. And I have, you know, it drops alongside. So my arm or my hand is literally kind of falling along it.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. And I'm constantly checking the zippers too, to make sure everything's closed.
I do the same.
And then one more thing is when we sit down for coffee or for lunch or whatever, I'll take one of the straps and I'll either put it under my, you know, under my leg or under the chair's leg so that you can't just run off with it. You're actually going to have to pull me with it.
Yeah. Anna, where do you put your bag when you're out to eat in public?
I'm trying to think. It depends on the restaurant, but I feel like I just take it off and I have it on my lap most of the time.
Really?
With you. Yeah.
So I just have it. I don't know why. I feel uncomfortable almost if it's even a foot away from me. Or, you know, if my boyfriend's with me, then I'll put it between us.
Mm-hmm.
That way I know that it's right next to me.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that I like a booth so that I can put it like away from the edge of the booth and off to the side. So I'm just a less attractive target. But if I do have to sit at a table, then, and I'm one of those people, as long as the floor is relatively clean, because I have
put on the floor.
Yeah. I don't have a fabric bag. So I'll put it on the floor right between my legs. And then usually I tip the chair back just a little bit and put the strap underneath one leg so that just in case I there's a second fallback thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty weird about that, but I don't see a whole lot of people in public places going to these kinds of lengths that we do to keep our bags safe.
What I've also done is, if I just have my purse, I'll put it right behind me between my back and the chair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good idea.
But I'll make sure that my back is, or the purse is right between my back and the chair. That way I can feel it. If anybody moves it, I can feel it immediately.
And it's lumbar support.
Yeah,
exactly.
A lot of restaurant chairs don't have very good lumbar support.
My back
is
horrible.
People are going to listen to this and say, damn,
these
guys are paranoid.
Yeah, but you know what?
Paranoid, broken.
But that's the whole thing is not a whole lot of police officers end up becoming victims of these kinds of crimes. And
if they do, they don't report it.
Yeah. but it's
I wouldn't.
It's because though we're taking some of those police officer awareness and some of those skills that we just kind of practice as second nature and applying them to our personal lives.
Well, I think it's because we go to these cases or we go to these yes. calls and we see how the crime happened. So we do the opposite to avoid yeah. the crime. And I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, we learn from
others' mistakes.
Others' mistakes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We learn right. from others' mistakes.
One thing that I do quite a bit is Craigslist offer up deals.
Yeah.
And, you know, either selling or purchasing, it doesn't matter. And I really don't do a lot of high end. But these are, you know, smaller things that that it's just I'd rather buy a used thing than have sure. to buy a new thing.
At Recycling.
Any rate, yeah. At any rate, I always get a feel for the person and I don't let them, I don't invite them to my house.
No.
And never. I don't like to go to their house either.
No.
Yeah. You know, you always meet at a neutral location.
Yes.
And one thing I found is on the rare occasion where I felt, this seems weird, I'll always suggest that we meet at the police department.
Yes.
And a couple of times they've said, no, thank you.
And you say, no, thank you to that deal.
And I totally understand. And then, you know, my gut instinct was proven right. And then the times that they say, yeah, let's meet there. They're normal people, but yeah, right. you just cut that out of the equation. And that comes from several cases that we've had where there have been, you know, we call them burns, you know, like on offer up or whatever.
Right.
Where, hey, meet me at, you know, at the this weird intersection and this weird intersection to
where there's nothing
to buy this car. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing around.
And the victim will tell you, I showed up and I thought it was kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I would say 9 times out of 10, the victim had some kind of a little feeling. And I think you're 100% right. If they are not willing to go to the police department or someplace public like that,
a Starbucks,
yeah,
a coffee shop,
then don't do it
during regular business. I mean, you know, right. a coffee shop at, you know, 1:30 in the morning,
a busy business intersection,
yeah.
or
yeah,
and
exactly.
not just meet out in the parking lot, like meet inside, have the transaction inside.
Yeah, you could do that. I've never done that, but close to the door. If they say I'm here and then they're, you know, in the back of the grocery store, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
right in the front of the store, you know, on the side of the police station.
Yeah.
You know, that and inside on some certain occasions.
And you want it, I think yeah. you want it to be someplace that, you know, if there's cameras, great. You know, a place that has cameras. If anybody's on the up and up, they're willing to go and sell right, in front of cameras. Right.
That'll yeah. weed out the crooks.
Yeah. One of the other things too is there's a little bit of a component of like online stuff, and it kind of goes back to the cell phone, but also these Craigslist sales and things like that. I think everybody's got to be a little bit closer to their chest on some of the things that they're broadcasting out and about, you know, especially when you're talking on your phone, you might be giving up some personal information and people are looking for those things. Yeah. So it's not even just about where are you at? How are you positioning yourself? What are you doing? It's about what are you saying that may or may not be giving away information about yourself that can be used later on. So, right. you know, just on a little side note, be careful about what you're giving away information wise.
Yeah, definitely.
To people.
And where you're at. I mean, if you're at home, nobody's around to mm-hmm. listen to you, you know, put your credit card
right.
on the phone, then you're okay. But sometimes you're out in public
and
somebody will, yeah, somebody that is lacking money will definitely
yeah.
take down your number, pretend like they're texting,
yeah.
put your number in their phone. And then next thing you know, you have a
super simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It goes also hand in hand, cell phone, I guess, but social media too, you know, think of the names of your pets. And then think of the passwords for your bank account. I'm
right.
willing to bet that a lot of people have identical, similar passwords and names of their pets.
Right.
And that is not something that you should,
yes.
you should be.
Stop giving yeah. away all of your life story on social media.
Post your pictures of your vacation after you've come back. I know it's
yes.
hard, but if they see that your entire family is gone,
nobody's home. Let's go burglarize that house.
And then you've got photos of your family in front of an address and it shows your address numbers and you live in
yeah.
Rialto. Then
so
all they
true.
Have to do is start finding numbers in Rialto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll find the house.
You don't even have to
empty.
Drive to those numbers. You could just Google that
yeah. everything
now.
Everything from your couch. Yeah.
yeah.
So those little things that people don't think about that, that would prevent them.
It's
from
okay
being
to be a little bit paranoid, you know, don't go overboard, but just enough to wonder, could this be used to take advantage of me
and
later on?
I hate to always think worst case scenario, but I think that just kind of gets me prepared. And
yeah,
I anticipate things that could potentially happen. And then that's just preventing it from
right.
happening, you know? And it's not necessarily thinking negative at all times. It's just being preventative.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, we're not trying to get all doomsday and just stay on worst case scenario, but let's assume the worst case scenario happens. You're at the ATM, you're pulling out money, somebody grabs you from behind, they start dragging you off into the dark alley. Now, we as police officers, we have been taught some stuff from somebody just like Anna. And so we're going to use probably some tactics that we've been taught at work, but the average person doesn't have that.
Yeah, this isn't, and that's what I want, Anna. This, I don't want the police answer, how we, you know, wearing a uniform with all the tools that we have, how we know how we would respond to that.
What's your advice to the public?
To just a regular, like your girlfriends, what would you tell your girlfriend that was in this situation?
To run.
Yeah, absolutely. Try to wiggle away. See if you can run.
Right. No, but if they're in the situation, you know, where somebody's trying to rob them, sexually assault them, kidnap them, to mm-hmm. rape them, you know, I know that sounds horrific, but I mean,
murders and things like that don't typically happen on the sidewalk in front of a place, though. They want to get you to a private place.
Exactly. So if something like that happens, I mean, my first advice is just to fight for your life. If you feel that you're in that type of situation, to run and yell,
make noise,
you know, yell for help, yell.
I can see that. Yep.
Yell. Everybody to get attention.
Looks, yeah,
because when you hear mm-hmm. a child or a woman or anybody yelling, you know what I mean? You look to see what's going on. Is there a fire? Is there a fight? Is there a car accident? Like you're going to get people's attention, and that's
right.
What the bad guys don't want.
Right.
So definitely yell, attract all attention.
Right.
If you're in a situation where you feel, you know, that you physically can't get away, you physically cannot run at this point. For the public, I would just say, you know, elbow strikes, knee strikes. We tend to think, oh, well, I don't know how to fight. I don't know how to box. I don't know how to wrestle.
Right.
And the average person doesn't.
It's not a fight,
you know?
Anyway. It's survival at that point.
Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, I am by no means a professional wrestler, boxer, anything like that. But I would tell my girlfriends or, you know, my nieces, any, my cousins, mom, mm-hmm. whoever, I would tell them, use your elbows, use your knees, kick, bite, headbutt if you have to. If you're in an alleyway where there's a trash can near you and there's a bottle on the ground, grab that bottle and use that bottle in self-defense.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like it's in a movie, you know, that's things you see in movies. But sometimes if you're in that type of situation,
right,
that may be what you have to do.
Yeah. Anything that can be used as a weapon. And even just like, you know, if you're in a fight for your life and somebody's kidnapping you to do whatever it is that they're going to do, like eye gouging, you know, is another thing that just like make it so that it's harder for them to see, you know, when you're in a fight for life, you know, and you're a member of the public who hasn't been trained, you know, in how to properly defend yourself, it's kind of like an all bets are off kind of a situation, you know, and we as police officers, Anna said it, you know, 100% right. We're not necessarily boxers. We're not MMA fighters. You know, we've been taught some stuff, but even for us, sometimes fighting gets a little bit ugly and it does involve things like palm strikes and knee strikes, elbow strikes, because it's a little bit easier to be accurate with those things and make a difference in your attacker's ability to attack you or take a little window out of their sails.
And as officers, I mean, we're also used to being in these high stress, intense, adrenaline rushing situations.
Yep.
It's so, you know, even when we're going to an emergency call with our lights and sirens, our adrenaline's up. We're getting ready to prepare for an emergency. We're getting ready to get there and help mm-hmm. in some sort of chaotic event. The average person doesn't go through that every day. So
The
average person, when they're in this chaotic event, they're not going to think as clearly as we may think. They're not going to think, okay, what do I do to get out of the situation? They're going to panic more than we probably will. But that's why I would just advise to maybe think of these things ahead and already have a plan in mind of how you can get out of the situation. Like I said, especially I think sometimes I overthink things because I am a smaller female.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to do that in my law enforcement career and it's just carried on to my personal life. And I don't want to, you know, always be this paranoid chick you go out with.
Right.
But it's just the way I tend to call it is being street smart.
Yeah.
At times.
That's exactly it.
You know what I mean? I think it's just being street smart.
And I think it's about just do something. Even if you're not sure what to do, start doing something to defend yourself.
Now, we train on a regular basis defensive tactics and all the other stuff we do. there are classes for civilians for their own personal safety. And it's not these, you know, these week long karate classes
or day classes.
Yeah, there's day classes that, that people could look into if this is something that interests them for their personal safety.
Yeah,
I'd recommend. Have you seen any of those classes?
I've seen flyers for them. I know the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, they put on the Lady Beware training.
Okay. Riverside County has done the same. I've seen flyers like that, again, on social media, the internet.
Definitely people should think about things like that.
It is accessible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, I know I've seen it in like community awareness or community like safety type things. I know I've seen those opportunities come up.
And I think if you ever get in a situation, you're not going to regret that you did those things, but you will regret it if you get in a situation and you didn't try to do those things. And, you know, I think, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit in our, you know, we always talk about, hey, what do we want to say on this podcast beforehand? And one of the things that you said, Anna, was a really valuable thing. We teach our officers to be aware of where they're at right from the start.
Yes.
And, you know, we're checking road signs, you know, and if we haven't checked a road sign, we're keeping track of landmarks. So if you get into a situation where you need to call the police for help, so often people don't know where they're at. And we are hoping that we can help them figure out where they're at. And it takes longer to get help there.
Yes. Even car accidents.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody gets into a car accident and they can't tell us the intersection.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, try to figure out through landmarks, through signs of restaurants or whatever, where they're at.
Yeah.
So that's just for their own well-being.
So,
you know, if you want the ambulance there ASAP, then you need to know where you're at so the ambulance can actually get there.
Yeah. So keep an eye on your surroundings. Know where you're at if you do have to ask for help. Keep your head up so you're paying attention to the people that are around you. If somebody does attack you, you can give a description to the suspects. For Pete's sake, keep that phone put away when you're out in public.
Yeah, and pay attention to the world.
Pay attention to what's going on around
you. Look where
you're
walking.
Yeah, pay attention to your surroundings. You know, maybe select where you sit down, you know, more carefully. Put a little bit of thought into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely keep your hands available to defend yourself. Keep your things tucked away so you're a less attractive target. Anything else that we missed?
Oh, if somebody ever sends me a drink, I...
Yes. Only accept it from the bartender's hands.
I won't accept it. I'll wait for the bartender to give it to me.
I feel like that's actually a pretty good recap on just some of the basics, some of the things that police officers, you know, the things that we all know and kind of take for granted and sharing them with the public.
Look, this episode wasn't meant to instill fear in anybody.
No.
These aren't things that are for the vast majority of the people listening to it.
This is not a common occurrence.
Correct.
Yeah.
But there, if this can prevent a serious crime from occurring to one person, then I think it was a successful episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Anna, for helping us with this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Anna.
We really appreciate your time and effort. And so I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah, from the San Bernardino Police Briefing Room.
I'm Michelle Mahan.
And I'm Jose Castro. Thank you for joining us.